Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be in verses 12 through 19, but I'm going to read everything down to that point, okay? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep, and after that He was seen by James, and then all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are the most pitiful. If you guys remember, as we've been traveling in Corinthians, Paul first instructed and dealt with the Corinthians' carnality, and then he dealt with the different spirituals, the entire manifestation of the Spirit. Now in chapter 15, he's changing gears, and he's dealing with the first heresy that was involved within the church, and it was the denial of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, and Paul puts a great deal of emphasis on it, and he spends a great deal of time trying to correct these guys' views, because see, it would seem that the church at Corinth allowed one of the three philosophies of death after life after death to creep into the fellowship, which was the Epicurean view, which was the materialistic view that taught that there was no existence beyond death. In other words, it's just party on. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What a bummer if that's as good as it's going to get, is it not? I was thinking as we were singing and just worshiping and loving on the Lord, and as He was loving on us, we got a lot of people that are sick today. And like my kids, they're sick, and my wife is coming down with something. But it's not terminal. You see, it's just a cold and they'll be fine. But then I was thinking about someone like Diane, who has stage 4 cancer. And bar a miracle, it's not going to happen. Now, if you're in a position and you have stage 4 cancer, man, you really start to look at life differently, do you not? Because you know the end is definitely near and the eternal is becoming very clear. Now imagine, man, if you have no hope of a resurrection. What a bummer that would be. To live life without hope of a resurrection. And that's really where we're going to be this morning. But I want to go over some things that we've already looked at. Remember, Paul's been pointing at the facts that Jesus was indeed resurrected. Remember, we're looking at the true gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, if you want to point people to what the gospel message is, this is it. For I delivered you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. Guys, we're dealing with facts, and there are plenty of facts found in Scripture that supports the fact of the gospel, right? Fact one, Jesus died for our sins. He wasn't just a good man who was put to death. He paid the penalty for our sin. As you know, He was crucified. Matter of fact, crucifixion, before it was ever invented, is mentioned in Psalm 22. And it details very accurately of the fact of our Lord's crucifixion. If that's not good enough, we can look at Isaiah 53. And there's plenty of other scriptures that points to that fact. Fact two, He was buried in a tomb. Why is it important that this is within the gospel? Because it verifies the fact that He died. they buried him. Because even now in the time we live in, people want to deny the fact that maybe Jesus was just faking people out on the cross. If you study crucifixion, if you've seen the extent and the pain and the brunt that one would endure in that, there's no way you're faking somebody out on this thing. He didn't swoon. He didn't, okay, I'm just going to kind of play possum here, and then you can put me in, and then I'm going to move. I mean, it's not possible. Okay, we're dealing with facts. Fact three, Jesus rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and Jesus proclaimed He would rise on the third day. Matthew 16:21, Matthew 17:23, Matthew 20:19. The gospel message is Jesus' death, Jesus is buried, Jesus' resurrection. Okay? Now here's what we looked at in that first study, the one thing I pray that we took from it. If Jesus' death is payment for our sins, okay, the Jews did not put Jesus to death. Our sins put the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. His resurrection is the receipt in which we hold that guarantees, you know what, we're going to go home and be with Him one day. You take that out of the equation, and as we're going to see, and which Paul's going to point out this morning, it's a real bummer. Then he goes on to point out in verses 5 through 7, eyewitness accounts of Jesus being alive. Paul says, go ask these guys. Go ask Peter. Go ask the 12. Go ask the 500. Most of these guys are still alive. Go ask James, Jesus' brother. Remember, for Jesus' death, his own family did not believe in him. James ended up becoming one of the leaders in the church. And if you remembered, as I pointed out in that study, that previous study, that most of those guys except John were martyred. John was bold and old. They couldn't kill him. He just died of old age. If a resurrected Christ is not the real deal, why would anyone subject themselves to that? No one would in their right mind. I love what David Guzik said. Listen to this one more time. We sometimes sing, you ask me how I know how he lives. He lives. He lives inside my heart. But that is not the best way to prove Jesus lives. He lives because the historical evidence demands we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If we can't believe anything in history, we can believe the reliable, confirmed testimony of these eyewitnesses. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then lastly, if you remember, Paul points to himself and he says, hey, I'm a witness too. And not only that, you've seen my life. Paul's testimony in verses 8 through 11 is the grace of God which the Lord poured upon his life. And Paul said, you know what? I am the least of the apostles. My life before Christ, you know what I was about? I was about persecuting the church. That's what I was about. But then God poured his grace upon me. He met me on Damascus Road. And then you know what? I made the most with what he gave me to do. He said, I labored more abundantly than yet they all. But the grace of God was with me. He made the most with the gift that He was given. And you know what? And I've said this so many times. One of the things that bums me out sometimes when I look back over folks that I graduated with is they had so much potential. And then I reconnect with them later on in life. And they just did not make the most of that potential. To me, that is just very heartbreaking. But how heartbreaking is it to receive the grace of God, to be given new life in Christ, and then do absolutely, really nothing with it? Paul did the most with what he was given to do. Matter of fact, the Lord used this guy really to just turn the world upside down. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. Every one of us in here has something dramatic to do with it, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God just did not save us to sit and get fat on God's Word. Every one of us, the Lord has so many unique and incredible plans in how He's going to glorify Himself in all of us, does He not? You know, we can't do any more than what God has created us to do, but man, we can certainly do less than what He has created us to do. Listen to what Oswald Chambers writes. You can see God using some lives, but in your life an obstacle has come and you do not seem to be of any use. Keep paying the attention to the source and God will either take you around the obstacle or remove it. The river of the Spirit of God overcomes all obstacles. Never get your eyes on the obstacle or the difficulty. The obstacle is a matter of indifference to the river which flows steadily through you if you remember to keep right at the source. Never allow anything to come between yourself and Jesus Christ. No emotion or experience, nothing must keep you from the great sovereign source. A true witness for Christ never forgets it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ I am what I am. Okay? I am what I am. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than yet they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We will be way more effective in our walk with the Lord, you know what? If we would just enjoy the Lord. That's it. So many times people want to heap this and heap that and heap this and heap that, and you ought to and you need to. If we will just enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, seek Him, and get first things first, everything else, I promise you, will fall into place. It will. It's just the way the thing works out. You know, and I shared this Wednesday night, way back when I first became a Christian, okay, and I was like 25 years old, if they needed a job out on Sunday, and it wasn't one of those mandatory things, okay, my job was usually just 5 days a week, so it wasn't like a mandatory schedule. But sometimes we'd be in a position where we had to get something out, and it would be a voluntary thing. And I would volunteer to go to work, and maybe, you know, well, it'd only be maybe a couple of hours. It never worked out that way. It was always longer than what it took to get the job out every stinking time. I learned. Forget you. I'm not doing that. I don't need the frustration. I'm just going to go worship the Lord. And Ken, I've known him ever since. I know both of these guys back here ever since I've been a Christian. Okay, and I wasn't much older than you guys right there. He remembers what a knucklehead I was when I first got saved. Okay? Guys, you know, I want to tell you something. The best friends you will have will be found within the body of Christ. And that is the truth. The best friends, the best relationships the Lord has given me is folks like that right there. It's because of the Lord Jesus, and that's the truth. And I'm not pumping Ken up, but he is a really neat guy, and if you get a chance, kick him in the shin. He's pretty stout, though. Leave him alone. So Paul's been pointing to the facts that point out, okay, Jesus, it was proclaimed before time began that this would happen. There had to be a payment for sin. He was going to be buried, and he was going to be resurrected. And then he points to eyewitness accounts. Now, what he's going to point in and what we're going to look at is if this was just the biggest farce there ever was, and it's going to be the biggest bum out if that were the truth, and I'm not saying it is. Look at verse 12 and 13. Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not risen. The risen Christ is our hope. Paul says, now if Christ that we've been preached has not been raised from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? The resurrection of Jesus proves there is a resurrection for you and me. Resurrection is not just life after death, okay? Understand this. Resurrection is a continuation of life after death, present in these bodies which will be glorified. Okay, understand that. It's not just life after death. These bodies that we've been given right here, we will take them into eternity, but they will be in a glorified state. Paul said, look at the facts. Jesus was indeed resurrected. Witnesses saw Jesus, not a spirit, not a ghost, but Jesus in His bodily resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 24 through 27. You remember Thomas? I don't believe you. You're lying. Unless I see what? What did he say? Unless I see what? Unless I see some scars, lest I see some action, I'm not believing it. Listen to what he says. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came through the doors being shut and stood in their midst and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here and put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I don't know how tall I'm going to be. I don't know. I might in my glorified state pushed 5:8. I don't know. But I do know this. This body that the Lord gave me is going to be in a glorified state because it's part of the gospel message. The bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these guys were not thinking this through. Some of these folks were denying the resurrection. Were denying the resurrection, but at the same time believing in a resurrected Jesus. Remember, they were allowing Greek philosophy to weigh in on their thinking. Paul is pointing to the facts of Jesus' resurrection. It's not only proven Jesus was indeed resurrection, but also proves in the principle of resurrection, which is these bodies will be raised up in a glorified state. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we all eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He was able to subdue all things to Himself. That's what Scripture teaches. Now, on a side note, here's something to think about. Don't let culture rob you. Guys, don't let it happen. Don't let it rob you of the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have got to maintain a heart for the love of the Word, a heart for the love of the Lord. I found that the longer I've walked with Christ, the more I see things differently. I don't see things the way I saw things back in 1995. Matter of fact, I really don't see things necessarily completely the way I saw things back in 2012. As we continually walk with the Lord, you know, it's really not about learning, it's about unlearning and realizing that this world is really upside down apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a psalmist type heart. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104. Oh, I love your law. It's my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because of your precepts. I've restrained my feet from the evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Someone once said that when we carry a Bible when we're young, guess what? It'll carry us when we get older. I shared this with you so many times. If I did not have hope in the Lord Jesus, if I did not have hope that, you know what, I'm going to be resurrected, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord, I would be totally bummed out with what I see going on in this world right now. I wouldn't even, to be honest with you, I would not even have thought of having kids. It's like, why on earth would I want to have kids and subject them to this type of mess? Well, my hope is in Jesus. And He could come back at any moment, at any time. When people are stressed out and overwhelmed, I give them the chapter that has helped influence me more than any other chapter. It's Joshua chapter 1. It is the chapter to success. You want to be successful in life? Do what the Lord told Joshua. Meditate on my word. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. And guess what? You're going to be prosperous. Now, when God talks about being prosperous, He's not talking about getting rich. He's talking about just successfully following Him and whatever He would have us go do. You guys, some of you guys are so overwhelmed with your schoolwork. I want to tell you something. If you want some extra time stretched out, spend time with the Lord first. And He'll make it happen. Don't ask me how. I don't know how, but He makes it happen. Don't get away from spending time with the Lord. See, now Paul's going to say, what if there is no resurrection? Okay, this is the way you guys are thinking, and this is the way you're acting. What if there's no resurrection? Remember, we're talking about the principle of resurrection. These bodies we're walking around in will be raised up in a glorified state. And we base this on Jesus' bodily resurrection, which is part of the gospel message. He rose again and witnessed Saul, the scars upon His body. But let's say there is no resurrection. Look at what he points out. These are facts. If there is no resurrection. Verse 14. But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. In other words, what he says right here, I want you to understand something. What we've been preaching is nothing. It is nada. it means absolutely nothing. And you think about this just for a moment. If it was absolutely nothing, why would Paul endure some of the things that he endured? If it was an empty, worthless message. Then he goes on to say, guess what? If we've been preaching an empty, worthless message, what you've been placing your faith in is empty and worthless as well. That's what life is like if Jesus has not been resurrected. It's just one big fat lie. Verse 15, he goes on to say this. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if indeed the fact the dead do not rise. Paul goes on to say this about himself and the guys who preach the gospel. If there's no principle of resurrection, we are liars. We've been lying to you guys. And let's put ourselves just for a moment in first century Christian life. When these guys accepted the Lord as their Savior, they went all out. You read the book of Acts and you look at what you want to see. You know what a work of the Holy Spirit is? It's when people deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's humility involved in all this stuff. Why on earth would you want to deny yourself? Why on earth would you want to pick up the cross if there's not hope for a resurrection, right? Listen to this in Acts chapter 4, just a glimpse of what life was like for the first century Christian, sharing in all things. My son will share absolutely nothing at 4 years old or 3 years old. Everything's mine's, plural, okay? I don't care what he has, it's mine's. Yeah, I mean, I see this little bundle of joy, and I'm like, wow, such a little sinner. I love you, but you're stressing me out. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm really not. But everything's mine's. I'm watching him, you know, he's playing with these Legos that his grandparents have given him, okay? And his sister comes up there and she can raise her little self up, you know, and she's just wanting to be a part of what brother's wanting to do there at almost a year old now, and she's not building anything. She's just slobbering on his mess. And I don't blame him for pushing her down and not wanting her to play with his toys. I wouldn't want slobber on my toys either. But he minds. Like, she doesn't have it. He doesn't realize they're going to share a room at some point in time. And let's see what he says. Well, he doesn't understand. Why did Daddy go to the trouble of building those bunk beds? Because you're going to have a roommate for a period of time. Sharing in all things. Now the multitude who believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither did anyone say any of these things he possessed was his own, but he had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. That's first century church. Okay? That's brothers and sisters working together and sharing. Paul says, hey, guess what, man? I don't know about you. You just put yourself just for a minute. If this resurrection thing's not true, we just lied to you. You mean I just sold my stuff? We ticked off people. You mean we bought totally into this thing and you're telling me that you guys have been lying? Remember, their message, Paul's message, in Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power, it is the dunamis, it is the dynamite to change lives. And we just kind of live in the South and we're like, oh yeah, the gospel message. They made it part of their regular service to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16 through 17, it just gets worse. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If there's no principle of resurrection, you're still in your sins. You're not forgiven. That is a bummer. Jesus died, Jesus buried, Jesus raised up, Jesus on the cross, payment for our sin. He died so we could live. Jesus buried is proof of His death. Jesus' resurrection is our receipt. We're going home to be with the Lord. If there is no principle of resurrection, our preaching is meaningless, which means your faith is meaningless, which means we've lied to you. But not only that, you guys have been living a lie. You're still guilty of your sins. I think one of the greatest experiences I ever had with the Lord was when I first got saved, because I felt clean for the first time in my life. And I didn't have this horrid background, but I guarantee you this, I was a sinner, and I was separated from God because of my sin. To be clean. And since I have become a Christian, guess what? I've transgressed at times. And I felt conviction, which is far worse than guilt. Guilt will eventually go away. Conviction, if we're walking close with the Lord, you can't shake that thing until you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what, I sinned, I blew it, would you clean me up, would you wash me, Lord? I think all of us have experienced that as well. Paul says, guess what, man, Jesus is not resurrected. You're living a lie, and you're still in your sins. And that's a bummer, because Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. Verse 18. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There's no principle of resurrection. Not only is our preaching meaningless, which means your faith is meaningless, which means we've lied to you, which means you've been living a lie, which means you're still guilty of your sins. Well, that means your loved ones who died, who thought they were saved, have perished forever. Never see them again. Is that not one of the great blessings of being saved? And especially if you have family members who are saved or friends that you have been saved, you're going to get to see them again. I look forward to seeing my grandfather on my dad's side, who I didn't really have a relationship, but I know he's saved, and I'm going to get to see him again. If something were to happen to my precious wife, I know that, you know what, it's just a moment of separation. I'm going to go get to see her again. I pray that my mom and dad would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because, you know what, I want to go see them again. I want to, you know what, some of you guys in here that I've known and I've got to build relationships with, I want to see you again. What a bummer. You know what? What's really a bummer at a funeral is when you know that person's not saved. I mean, I don't know how that works. I've had a couple of opportunities to do some funerals, but I've been either out of town or there was something and I couldn't do it. And I've known the folks and they were not saved. And I was like, I don't know what I would save. How are you going to celebrate this life? How can you celebrate it? You know, I shared with you before, my grandfather survived the Great Depression, survived World War II. He was in the Marine Corps, which meant that he fought in the Philippine Islands. He survived raising four kids. He survived farm work. He survived running heavy equipment. He survived numerous things, but I don't know if he's home with the Lord, because I don't think he was a Christian. Okay, what a bummer to survive all those things and not go home to be with. I pray that maybe when he was in the Philippine Islands and he was faced with death on a regular basis, he got right with God. That's my prayer and that's my hope. See, if there's no resurrection, then you know what? Those who went before us, never going to see him again. See, he's pointing to facts. If there is no bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men the most pitiful. Finally, if there's no principle of resurrection, the last statement is only applied to Christians. See, you non-believers can hope in this life, so they can try to soak it up because this is the only life they have. But for Christians, their hope is beyond this life. Therefore, we live differently, or at least we should. We've got hope, and we're going to talk about something here in a minute, but I want to share something in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. Part of being a Christian, okay, is in this life, we follow the Lord wherever the Lord may lead us. For some of us, man, that might be Africa, and that might be where we spend the rest of our life. It could be South America, or it could just be right in our hometown, slugging it out and being faithful. what God, it's God's call. What has He called us to do, right? But all of us would agree, wherever God has called us, there's one thing that should separate us from everyone else. We're denying ourselves, and we're picking up a cross, and we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a wonderful plan for all of us. It's denying ourselves and picking up our cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the process, guess what? He's getting glorified. He's getting magnified. Being a Christian, you would all agree, solves many problems. But when we start denying ourselves and picking up our cross, does it not bring some problems our way? You've been on the job and you're trying to honor the Lord. Does it not bring some problems your way? At school, when you were in high school, and if you took the Lord seriously and you tried to start denying you, I think it'd be worse in high school. Because I remember what I was like in high school. I was always making fun of people and giving them a hard time. And I wasn't a Christian. Can you imagine what that's like, and taking the brunt of the peer pressure and all that stuff, or even in college? Just being in the world. I love what David Guzik writes. This is what he says. Listen. This whole Christian life is a pitiful joke if there's no resurrection. If we don't have something beyond this life to look forward to, why hassle with all the problems of being a Christian? That's what Paul's saying. You look at Paul's life. You know, here's one thing I have learned the longer I walked with the Lord. I'm a whiner. Oh, I got it so hard. Look at Paul. Look at him. The dude lost everything when he come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at his life, man. He lost his job. Lost his friends. He lost his position. And he spent the rest of his life sharing the good news wherever that may lay. Matter of fact, he loses his head in the very end. If there's no hope, if it's only in a... Why waste your time, is what Paul is saying. These are facts. Lastly, the doctrine of Jesus' bodily resurrection is so important to us. And here's a few more facts from Scripture and their blessings. His divinity rests on the resurrection. Romans 1:4 tells us, "And I declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." His sovereignty rests on His resurrection. Romans 14:9, "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." Our justification rest on His resurrection. Romans 4:25, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification." Our regeneration rest on His resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Finally, our ultimate resurrection rests on His resurrection. Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." And we live in a time and age where people just want to kind of just push that aside. And you would think, I mean, we've got over 2,000 years of incredible Bible teacher. We've got the full canon of Scripture. And people just want to kind of push the gospel aside. He didn't really die. He just kind of faked everybody out. And they just stuck Him in there. And He just kind of, you know, played tiddlywinks for a little bit. And then he just pulled some ninja moves off. And He just kind of popped out. Or no, His body wasn't really resurrected. It was just kind of a ghost. Or this or that. You get away from that doctrine, you see Paul's heart on this thing. You're missing out. And we think, well, the gospel message is such a simple message. Yes, it is a simple message, but it's so deep if you spend a little time with the thing. Let's close with this today, this thought. See, Paul's not trying to correct these guys. If we think about it, he's given them a clear understanding of the complete gospel message. He's restoring hope. Hope that they have in Christ. And here's hope. Okay, here's hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, we'll bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hope. Don't let culture rob us of the hope we have in Jesus. Let the Bible constantly be a great source of renewing our hope in Jesus. Allow the Lord to work in us to change the culture around us. Because, guys, our culture is in need of some hope. They are in need of some hope. And the only hope can be found in a resurrected Jesus, the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received. And remember something about the gospel message. For it to impact a heart, it's got to be received into a heart. This is not some intellectual thing that's going on in our mind. If it's never been a heart decision, I want you to know that guess what? I don't even have to tell you if you're not saved. The Lord's telling you. That's the truth. No one had to tell me I was not saved. God told me I was not saved. And you know what? He surprised. He provided plenty of things for me to see that I wasn't saved. He gave me one of my best friends ever, who I saw day in and day out honoring the Lord, denying himself, picking up his cross, and following the Lord Jesus. And I was convicted by that. I was brought to the awareness that, you know what? At 25 years old, I'm lost. That's the real deal. I've been lied to. See, for the gospel message to have an impact, it has to be received. And if it's never been received, then guess what? It's just an intellectual process. That's it. Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Hope. Now, some of you guys, if you're like me, sometimes things come our way and we're just like, oh, come on. Oh, Jesus is like, get over it. You're going to come home and be with me one day, okay? Stop. Just a brief moment here. Chill out. And He's so good and He's so gracious. So see, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. And we're celebrating the hope we have. Jesus' body broken, His blood shed. And this is what I encourage all of us to do. Reflect back on that. Don't go through the motions. Enjoy this moment with the Lord. And He might ping and say, you know what? There's something in your heart not going on here that's right. I just want you to come clean with me. Okay? Then again, He might encourage you and say, you know what, just keep on trucking. It's okay. Things are going according to plan. I'm going to be back. You just hang in there and hang on to me. Stephen's going to play, and then we're going to take communion as a family. He's going to play, and then we're going to take communion as a family. He's going to play, and then we're going to take communion as a family. He's going to play, and then we're going to take communion as a family. He's going to play, and then we're going to take communion as a family.